may not be true. Any and all illegal activities should be assumed to be the fabrication of trained improvisers and taken as entertainment. Any offensive views or opinions discussed are likely the result of an inability to process context and intention over predisposition, and are not endorsed by any of our current or potential sponsors. In these cases, it should be assumed that the offensive material is likely the result of an emotional masochism within the observer. We assure offended parties it is not necessary to contact us in thanks. It is our pleasure to fulfill your want and need. Should the offended still feel the need to contact us, please do so at unopenedemail@yahoo.com. Thank you, and enjoy. Life. Today's show is not brought to you by Husqvarna Motorcycles. That's right. A lot of you are saying, Husqvarna Motorcycles? I thought Husqvarna made chainsaws and sewing machines. It was kind of like a Barack Obama sound, almost. I wonder if I could do impressions. Anyway, moving on. No, they make more than sewing machines, folks. Husqvarna makes kick-ass motorcycles, and they're actually now a subsidiary of KTM. That's right. They got a mothership. She's strong. And Husqvarna, the company itself, has been making motorcycles since 1903. Only other guy on the block doing that, Harley Davidson. That's right. Little guy in Sweden. Start cranking out bikes in 1903. Anyway, if you've never owned a motorcycle, probably don't get one then. But if you're into bikes, even bicycles, and you know you're good at it, you should get a Husqvarna. They kick ass. Husqvarna Motorcycles. Google it. Alright, guys. Here we are. Episode 998 BC. Time flies, you know what I'm saying? Oh, glad you're here. Aaron Douglas, your host, as per. Figuring it out. How you guys doing? Oh, you know what? Let's get this thing started right.
It's a shame, it's a shame, it's a perfect shame. Creep under my door and we do it again, alright.
Woo! Here it is, guys. The music for today.
It's so easy and easy and easy and easy.
The bird and the bee. Heard this song when I was getting jazzed for riding season, snowboarding that is to say, watching ski porn on the internet. Oh man, again and again and again and again, it was a bail reel. This guy was hucking a big drop. It's either a lift tower or a power tower. I don't know, man. He cased a lot. But you know he rode away. He did. Ooh, the Bird and the Bee, people. 2007 self-titled album, The Bird and the Bee, the song, Again and Again. That song always gets me jazzed, man. Skiing season's coming up. The weather has turned. The weather has turned. It's cold as balls, man. I'm in a hoodie and sweatpants right now. Gotta work later. Gotta get on my new wardrobe. Fixing some lights and stuff. Building America. Woo! You guys snowboard? You ski? I do. I love that shit, man. Worked at a ski hill for like 10 years as a wee buck, starting at like 16 years old, up to 26 off and on. Jones right now. I don't know if you guys heard. His sponsor was Husqvarna Motorcycles. I want to get back to that. That is going to be fun. What else are we talking about today? Oh, mountain biking, because it's fall, man. That's what I was thinking. So, you guys mountain bikers, obviously. You all are mountain bikers, I can tell. You know what I mean? Me too. I've got a Dean. That's right, Dean. It's an all-titanium bike that I picked up when I lived in Colorado. There's like this company out of a city called Gun Barrel, adjacent to Boulder, made titanium bikes. Short period of time. This is a 2006 model. I don't know when they figured it out, but it could have been later in 2008. They figured out how to make frames out of carbon fiber. Before, they could always make tubes, you know, things that they had to wrap and weave around. Uniform shapes, they could make carbon fiber, but they couldn't do joints and curves and... But they figured it out. And now they're making carbon fiber bikes, and I have an old-fashioned titanium bike, and I cannot wait to rip. So, hit me up if you want a mountain bike and you're in the Pittsburgh area. You know we got some sweet trails. Frick Park itself, keep you busy all fall, you know what I mean? Man, mountain biking is fun. If you don't mountain bike, if you don't know it about me, obviously, I'm a bit of a thrill seeker. It's just in my nature. I've always said that I am an explorer at heart. And what better way to explore than on an adventure? Am I right? Right. Oh, man, bikes are fun. I was biking since I was a little kid, you know? I feel like, well, I taught myself how to ride a bicycle, first of all. I remember that. I think I might even took the training wheels off myself. I might even have got the wrench and took off the training wheels. That is possible. Who knows? But I remember I saddled up next to my parents had this red LTD Ford. It was like a Crown Vic, but like worse. You know what I mean? This old body style, this box. So it was good. You could hold on to the back. It was a real nice square fender. And I'd get my rear foot on the back bumper and I'd push off that sumbitch. I don't know how many times I fell. But either way, I got it. I figured it out, man. I've been on bikes ever since. I love bicycles, man. Bicycles and motorcycles. I do not have a motorcycle right now, and it is itching my trigger. Oh, man. But I got two bikes. Two good bikes, even. I got the city bike for city work. Basket. Comfy handlebars. All that jazz. And I got the mountain bike. Low gear. Freaking good suspension. Lightweight. I even threw some BMX bars on because I'm kinky like that. You know what I mean? I did. But the Dean is ready to ride. It's been dry all week, too. That's going to be good. I call it the Dean because, and this is where I've been getting the whole time, and I'm sorry, I do get in the weeds. But I have a titanium bike, and the titanium is different than most metals. It is super duper strong, as most people would know, and hard. But what a lot of people don't know is it has a great elasticity, I guess is what we'll call it. Essentially, it gets springy like spring steel, man. So riding the Dean is like having Parkinson's, man. But luckily, you're hitting roots and rocks. I'm a brown bomber, I guess, a downhill type of guy. The Dean serves me well. It's a fun little bike. That's going to be good, though, man. I used to live, as I said, in CO for a little while, Colorado. That's when I picked it up. When I got there, I had a... I called it the gay fish, which was a Gary Fisher mountain bike. I called it the gay fish because Like everything I do, I styled it up, man. That thing was pimp looking. I mean, it still worked. It was a great mountain bike. But it was all blue from the front, except for the tire and the front rim. And faded into white, and the whole rear was white, and the tire was white. Oh, that bike was pimp. Anyway, I had to trade in the Gary Fisher for a drill when I moved to Colorado. I got the Gary Fisher for payment for babysitting my boss's old house when I lived in Nebraska. So I was like, man, that's a decent mountain bike, you know what I mean? I'm going to need a mountain bike for Colorado. Well, I moved to Colorado and I got a job working for a local grower. And at the time I was making decent money, so I bought the Dean off the Craigslist. $550, I think I paid for that bike. Totally worth it. Plus, I mean, I got more into it now, but I quit working for that grower. It wasn't working out. And I went, started welding. And I was plumb broke, so I hawked a gay fish for a DeWalt drill so I could put up shelves. Yeah, that's fucking true, man. I was living in an illegal apartment in the back of an electronics shop in Longmont, Colorado. It was badass, so it was totally worth it. That guy, obviously, wasn't, you know, zoned for residential. I did not have a kitchen or anything. I had to go use the store's bathroom, the electronics store's bathroom. And I walked through their storage room and went into what looked like a closet, but was actually my studio apartment. That was something else. I had a 4-stall shotgun rack on the wall filled with skis, 2 snowboards, 3 bikes. So, broke man gets rid of a bike. That was good. Ah, man, they had the best noodles at the Chinese, what the name was that Chinese place, man? That was so good. The Drunken Noodles in Longmont, Colorado from Happy Something. Man, that was good. There you go. If you're ever in Longmont, go there, pick up some Dale's Pale Ale because it was brewed there too. You know what I mean? That was some good times, man. I had the Husqvarna parked up. Oh, yeah, I had Husqvarna. So that was today's sponsor, right? Today's sponsor. Well, not sponsor. That's right. We are not endorsed by Husqvarna. But Husqvarna is endorsed by me, goddammit. If you like dirt, and as they say, God made dirt and dirt don't hurt, you should like Husqvarna motorcycles. They have always been oriented toward dirt. And now they make enduros that are all street legal. Oh man, they're boss. They are so boss. So, I had a decent job in 2007 working in a warehouse, right? I'd had the job for a while and I figured I'd have it for a while still. And I'd had a car loan before and I'd paid it off. I started thinking, man, my dad was about my age when he got a brand new motorcycle. Now, I'd always had motorcycles. Well, hell, what do we do? Do we start from the... We don't start from the beginning. We start from the Husqvarna? Husqvarna's a sponsor. We'll leave the other ship for another day. But I'd always had motorcycles. I think the Husqvarna was my 5th or 6th. But I got a wild hair in me at this job, and I called my dad up on the phone. I said, Dad, I'm thinking about buying a brand new motorcycle. And he was kind of more responsible guy anyway at the time than I, for sure. Well, you know I had a motorcycle, he said. You know that motorcycle really helped us out, you know, helped the family out sometimes. I know I'd never take it back. It might it might be a good time for you to buy a motorcycle, new motorcycle, if you're thinking about it. And that was all I needed, man. I was off the I was running. I already knew what I wanted. In 2006, I'd been on a road trip, and I'd picked up a Maxim magazine. Now, back then, not everybody had a smartphone like the equivalent of smartphones today. So it was wise, and even today, you hit dead zones. But it was wise when you're on a road trip and you hit a truck stop to buy an interesting magazine. Well, I was prone to buying Maxim. Maxim always had decent articles and, let's face it, good-looking ladies. You know what I mean? So I picked up a Maxim magazine. This must have been a ski trip because this had like a man's Christmas wish list. It was like dream list, you know? And on that list, in 2006, Husqvarna had been, I later learned, repurchased by Kajiva USA, retooled their long infamous TE610, and released it in a new, just mean, awesome looking street legal dirt bike. 576cc, 4-stroke, water cooled. I've only rode 1 meter thing in my life, so that's why today's show is brought to you by Husqvarna Motorcycles. But that's what I had when I was out there in Longmont. I had me, the Husqvarna, which was the perfect tool if you live next to Boulder, Colorado. My old F-150, the 88, with the inline 300 straight six. I don't know if you're going to buy a pickup. You need a farm truck. Find a Ford with an inline 300 straight six. I think they made them from mid-80s to 91. Well, they made that engine from the 60s, but the fuel injection went from 1988 to 1991 in those box styles, and they are bulletproof. Anyway, it was me, the Husky, and the Ford all alone in Colorado. I mean, we had friends, don't get me wrong, and we were riding and smoking and riding anything, snowboards, motorcycles, mountain bikes. Oh, good times. Good times. You ever been to Tour Day Fat? Fat Tire. I think they have that here in Pennsylvania. Fat Tire is a brewing company out of Fort Collins, Colorado. They have an annual ride called Tour Day Fat. Kind of like Pittsburgh's Naked Ride, but much, much bigger. And that is a hell of a bike event. Man, hell of a bike event. I got bicycle goals, I think, actually. I know I do. I want to ride Ragbri. Anybody ever heard of Ragbri? Not me. Of course, I've heard of it. Ragbri is, oh man, it's something annual. It's a stupid acronym. The stupidest acronym. I don't know what it is. But it's a bicycle ride across the state of Iowa, from the Missouri River to the Mississippi River. Which is why Iowa is such a fertile place. It's right between the two of the top five largest rivers in the world. Anyway, so you ride the bike all the way through there. Well, I grew up in Iowa. Actually, that's where I bought the Husqvarna. And then I owned it in Nebraska and in Colorado. God, that was a love affair with a motorcycle. I love motorcycles. You know what I mean? I got to stop saying, you know what I mean. But I bought the Husqvarna in Iowa, and I tore it up, and I don't know, when I first got it, it had a fuse issue. It would blow master fuses, and it would leave me stranded because of it. Now, I don't know why it blew master fuses initially, and it also blew headlight bulbs nonstop. Long story short, even the best things have their hiccups, right? So after I ironed out all the problems with Husqvarna, I got all the farkling done, as they call it, in the lexicon of dirt biking, or adventure riding, if you will. I got the hand guards, and radiator guards, and belly pan with Husqvarna logos and LED taillight assembly, fender eliminator, if you will. Man, I tried so long to keep turn signals on that thing. But it's a dirt bike. This is a street-legal dirt bike, you know what I mean? Ah, see, there it is again. But I made to be laid, you know? It's going to hit the ground. Turn signals are tough. Oh, so, man. I remember my buddy, so I kind of started a fad with the dual sports, and a couple of my friends bought them because they're like, this guy's having a blast. I got to get in on this, right? And me and my buddies were, well, just one this time. We're riding up to Fort Dodge, name of the place. Iowa's got this law where anybody who harvests the land, if you will, has to return it to a usable, I don't know, make it usable for the public, but when they're done, if they're going to get mining rights. So there's a gypsum company. That's what drywall is made out of, gypsum stone. So they mine gypsum all day long out there, and they're leaving land in waste behind them, as a lot would see it. Well, they made it into what we call an OHV park, or an off-highway vehicle park in Iowa, right? So me and Rass are riding up there, and he is on a KTM, which he has bought. That I can't remember what it was. I think it was KTM 540. That was a sweet bike, too. There's no Husqvarna, but it was a sweet bike. But we were up there, right? And his bike was made street legal through a bunch of loopholes. There was no reason it ever should have been on the road, right? My bike, however, came factory with a DOT inspection and all the bells and whistles. I don't know what it is about me, but cops, I must have a stink, because they do this. I'm getting better at it, but this guy, like many others, did not like me, and they pulled me and him over. They saw us riding dirt bikes on the concrete near an off-highway vehicle park. They assumed it was illegal, right? But we both had license plates. They were just tucked away or covered in mud. Mine actually, I think, yeah, mine got tore off by a hill climb. So he could have probably written me a legitimate ticket for not displaying my license plate, and he didn't. That's crazy. Because, and here's why. As I said, this cop pulls us over. I got a great picture of it. Maybe I'll put that up with him. And he's giving us the business. Me and Rass are sitting there next to our bikes with the cherries behind us on the side of some country road. And he's just harassing us, essentially. You know, we have all the paperwork. And he eventually... Jeremy doesn't have turn signals at all, by the way, on his bike. I've got everything, except for my front turn signals are red instead of amber. So he writes me a ticket for improper... something rather with the turn signals, and then also riding with unsafe equipment, because he dubbed that this was not the type of motorcycle that should be on the road, even though the Department of Transportation thought a little bit differently. This is what the fuck, like, what the hell, you know? What's this, the cops, and, you know, and it's not the cops, I guess, but it is, obviously, in this case, too. It wouldn't be so bad. But I have, like, a policy. I fight tickets, you know? Let's be honest. My time's not that valuable. So if I want to take some time off from work, show up to court just to see this guy talk about what I did and see if the charges... I'll tell you this. I got a 50% success rate. So there you go. If you got a square head and Google and you fight tickets... Like I said, 50% success rate. Either way, this time I go in, and it's in Fort Dodge. And I drive the Cadillac up there. At the time, I had a 95 Cadillac DeVille Concourse. And I don't know if I made it clear. I got three tickets for a motorcycle that was from the factory, DOT approved. My friend, on a dirt bike with a headlight and a brake light, zero tickets, a warning, a written warning. I must have been a mouthy prick. I used to be a prick, so I'm sure that's what it was. I'm sure that's what it was. But either way, so I walk away with three fucking tickets. And it's summer or fall when we're doing this stuff. So by the time, because if you go to fight a ticket, the first time you go to court, they just say, hey, you want to fight this ticket? And you say, yeah, I want to fight this ticket. You could probably do that on the internet or the phone even now. But that's how I like to do it. I just eat as much of their time as I can. So I show up in court on the day, and I say, I want to fight this ticket. And sometimes they kick it back another day. You know, like, all right, well, we'll schedule it for something else. And that's just how it goes. So they scheduled it. By the time it comes around, it had to have been December or something, because I'm driving to Fort Dodge. It's a 45-minute drive on a good day. And I got front-wheel drive, so that's good. This happens to be like a blizzard. You know what I mean? Terrible. Terrible, terrible weather. But for me, terrible weather, delicious weather. I love driving in crap, especially snow. Rain's way worse than snow, because sometimes you can't see out of the windshield worth a damn. But snow, man, once you get the defrog going on the old windshield, that's a blast from the past. Either way, so I had a court date, and I had to get up to Fort Dodge, and it was a blizzard, and I wasn't going to miss my court date. I mean, why would you? I'm not going to pay a bunch of traffic fines. Plus, they'd probably slap more fines on it. So I drive up there, and it's daylight as I'm going up, and it's starting to snow, and I go into the court, and the cop shows up. I don't know what he said. It was a state trooper? State trooper, yep. Which are like the god in Iowa, as far as they have jurisdiction everywhere. You know what I mean? Jesus, I gotta stop saying that. Anyway, state trooper shows up, starts testifying. I testify. I essentially tell the judge the only thing I did wrong that day was try to climb a hill that was too steep and bust off my... No, I didn't even say that. I didn't even say anything about my license plate being busted off that day, because the cop didn't press a charge for that, which was so stupid on his part. But I said, look, I had the wrong color turning signals, and he said this is unsafe equipment. This is ridiculous. Here's the registration and insurance for the motorcycle. You know, here's some pictures from the day with the motorcycle sitting there with the lights on, you know. I showed him all those things. Showed him that everything was in working order. Here's a light on the license plate. Here's a light for turning signals. Here's this, here's that, here's this, here's that. And here's what the judge said. He goes, well, son, in my experience, you know, we used to ride around on dirt bikes and stuff. My friends had them when we were kids. And, you know, there's kind of bikes that are for the road and the kind of bikes that aren't. They just stuck me with all the charges. Like, what the fuck kind of a law is that? There's just the kind of bikes that are and the kind of bikes that aren't. This is a judge. Ugh. What a flipping travesty. Ugh. Some of just it. Hey, how about the ones that the DOT issue licensing for that come with a VIN number? I mean, I don't want to get too off on these, but a VIN number, not a serial number. There's a difference. A VIN number is pre-approved from the DOT. That's only one of many times the cops have lied against me in court. That time, I don't think I beat any of the charges. But I did get a six-pack of beer and drive through a blizzard for about an hour and 20 minutes home on the back roads, which was fun. And a little bit of an F you to the man, I must say. But what do kids do? You know what I mean? The Husqvarna got me into some trouble. Before I got that motorcycle, I'd had, I think, 0 tickets in 5 years because I was a delivery driver for a furniture company. So that's the kind of thing you know? After I got the Husqvarna, I had 5 tickets in 2 years, I think. Oh, luckily, they weren't all moving violations. Some of them were equipment. Especially, like I just said, those ones that were up in Fort Dodge. But man, I tried so hard to keep that motorcycle street legal. And then after a while, somebody said, you do realize that if the lights aren't on there, that's not illegal. You just have to use hand signals. And I was like, yeah, but I like them at night. And he goes, yeah, but you're going to get tickets if they're broke. I finally gave up, took all the turn signals off. Hand signals from there on out. You know what I mean? I still use hand signals to this day. Even like on a golf cart. It's weird. But I got motorcycle fever. No motorcycle. I got the fever. And the prescription is more cubic centimeters. I think my next bike is going to be a Kawasaki Ninja 250. Yeah, you heard me. I said Kawasaki Ninja 250. And I'm not ashamed. I have an idea. See, you thought I was dumb. But I might even be dumber than you thought. See, I live in the city, and if you don't know Pittsburgh, you're hard-pressed to find a straight mile of road. Unless you're going over a river or through a hillside in a tunnel, there really isn't a mile of straight road. So, a 250cc Ninja platform, like agility-wise... I mean, I think that's perfect. That's kinky for these roads. You know what I mean? I think... So here's my plans. A, tear off all the Ninja stuff. All the fairings, the headlights, tailpiece. Put on a regular motorcycle gas tank. That's one of the neat features of the Kawasaki Ninja 250R. Its frame, though similar... to other crotch rocket frames, still has a center rail, so you can mount a regular gas tank on it. Immediately changes the whole mood of the motorcycle, right? We're talking street tracker, right? I kind of want to go scrambler with it. Now, I don't know if you know the difference between a scrambler and a street tracker. It's probably inside baseball. Let me explain. A scrambler is a term from the olden days, which I think I might shoot for making a scrambler out of it. Fuck that. I know I'm making a scrambler out of it. A scrambler is when you take a street motorcycle and you make it into a dirt bike. They had to do this all the time way back in the day because they weren't making dirt bikes. The first motorcycles were built for roads, you know? I mean, roads were pretty rough and people were riding in ruts, but... regardless, they were worried about getting two wheels going straight. Well, off-road racing becomes a thing. And as anyone with current knowledge knows, there's no better weapon for off-road racing than a motorcycle. Motorcycles kill it. They kill it. And there's nobody faster than a motorcycle in any type of race. As soon as we get electric motorcycles... I don't know. It's going to be weird. Anyway, they had to build scramblers. So they'd have like a Honda, like a 1968 Honda CB350, you know, a little two-cylinder Honda. And they'd be like, okay, well, we got to race this thing. So what are we going to do? Well, they go out and they buy larger springs and they fit them into shock absorbers, or they buy larger shock absorbers and fit them in where the other ones were. Give it more travel in the suspension. They take off all the fenders, you know, and all of the lights and all the additional wiring and make it lightweight, you know. They put heavier springs with lighter oil or something. I don't know how forks work, but something like that. And then they put knobby tires on it, and now they've got a makeshift, kind of a shitty, really, dirt bike, but that's what they had to do. And that's a scrambler. You take a street bike, you make it into a dirt bike. Now then, there's also a street tracker. Now, Street Tracker is like a super motard bike from the past. Now, a super motard bike is just a dirt bike with street tires, smaller front wheel because it doesn't need hop logs, and just a dirt bike made to run on asphalt. You know what I mean? That is a super motard. And a tracker is an antique one, essentially. From back before they had dirt bikes, they would make street version. Well, I want to make a scrambler. Ninja 250 scrambler. I'm going to try to find a plastic gas tank. A Kawasaki one. A green Kawasaki one. And fit it on there. And then I'm going to kind of come up with custom mountings. Try to put dirt bike fairings on it. You know? It'll all come out pretty sweet. If I do it, God willing, if I do it, I will definitely make a whole Instagram about it. But I got the FIBA, and the prescription right now is Kawasaki 250R. I'm thinking I could pick one up for like $750, you know? They made these things, and that's the greatest part. So they made these things. They're two-cylinder engines since, God, the late 80s. All the way up until, I think, 2012, the motor was essentially the same, and the frame changed very little. So parts and reliability are not an issue. Plus, they have a notoriously high rev limit. I think 11,000 RPM for a 250cc two-cylinder engine. That's rattling. You know what I mean? Rattling hum. Yeah, I hope I'd be able to do that. All right, guys. I'm going to pause here for a second. Whew! And just like that, we are back. So much has happened. And for you, nothing. The magic of time travel or editing. I'm gone and back. Where'd you go, Mr. Douglas, you might say? Well, man's got to do what man's got to do. I had an appointment. I had to go fix an apartment, and it was a doozy. You guys ever been in a house where you can't just taste the animal urine? Oh, I messed that up. You guys ever been in a house where you can't just smell the animal urine? You can taste the animal urine? That's what I was supposed to say the first time. I just did. Was ridiculous. So, first of all, they're to get a hold of them, a text message string made no sense. So, I text Robin. I don't know what her name was. Who gives a shit? We'll call her Robin. Hey, landlord said there's some stuff you need done at your apartment. What time today or tomorrow is good for you? Reply. Oh, I don't know. I have to talk to Harry. Okay, fine. So I wait. Harry will be home at 6 o'clock tonight. Okay, no, I'm not doing it at 6 o'clock. When else? Harry will be home at... What is Harry's phone number? Why am I talking... Are you his mom? What is going on? I don't... You get it. It's ridiculous. I don't understand why I'm talking to her, Robin, about Harry. Whatever. We get through all those hoops today, just after 4 o'clock. I go there for my appointment, and I open the door, and I remember this place. I've been there before, and it's fucking gross. And it's grosser than it was last time. So, this time... Ceiling tile needs replaced. Grid ceiling, no big deal. Light fixture needs rehung and figured out why it isn't working, right? So, I start looking at the light fixture. A, it's hanging from the ceiling. So I'm like, okay, well, we'll see if any of the wires came loose when it fell from the ceiling. Nope, all the wires seem hooked up. Okay, well, maybe the breaker blew. Did you guys check the breaker? No, I guess I never thought to check the breaker, says Harry. Harry has black toenails, by the way, and he's kind of a scrawny, probably 50-year-old. He could have been 38. No, he's 50. This guy's got some mileage on it for damn sure. And they got a pit bull, and the pit bull's name is, oh, it's not Lucifer, it's one of those Satan-type names. What is it? It'll come to me. They got a pit bull and a little dog, and these things are clearly pissed all over the house all the time. And this fucking pit bull. Look, I ain't afraid of dogs. And that's good, because dogs can tell when you're afraid of them, I think, anyway. But I get fucking pissed. Like, this pit bull would not stop humping my leg. What are you supposed to do? You're there to fix some shit. You got a pit bull humping your leg. Ugh. Well, eventually I waited until the owner was out of the room. I fucking punched it in the face. I'm not above it. I'm not above it. I did it. It wasn't like a full, like, you know, Conor McGregor, haymaker, I don't know what. Who's a knockout artist? Just a thump, you know? Just like a, hey, knock it off. I pushed you off, said no. Your owner said no. These people are trash, man. Oh my god. They could never raise a dog properly. The dog never had a chance. Oh, and it's such a sad room, this light fixture. It's in a room with a box spring and a mattress laying against the wall, and a baby crib with, like, a baby trike thrown inside of it. And this is everything. There's nothing else in the whole room. And it's like, I don't know. It's a main room upstairs, and there's three adults in the house. What the fuck? I didn't see a single bed now that I think about it. There had been one other bedroom across the Ugh, so weird. Yeah, so they had to wait for that guy to get there, too. Like, Harry had to be there. The place has got to be in his name. I don't give a shit, you know? I can give two fucks. I fix stuff and I leave. Either way, so we're back at the light fixture. It's hanging. All the wires work. Flipping the switch. I asked the guy, you ever check the breaker? He says, oh, you know, I never thought to check the breaker. Okay, well, let's go. All breakers are good. Fuck. I get up there. This guy never checked the breaker. How about the bulbs? Bulbs any good? I don't know. I guess I never checked the bulbs. It just stopped working all of a sudden, so I figured, okay, well, let's check the bulbs. So I unscrew the fixture nut that holds the glass dome, you know what I mean? Pop glass dome off. Two bulb sockets. Zero bulbs in the light fixture. Oh. They filed a maintenance request with her. Look, this is not the first time that somebody has requested light bulbs be changed. I'm not going to lie to you. People are whiny bitches, and they will ask their landlord to provide light bulbs. Like, people who've lived there for years. Hey, we got light bulbs out. Come change them. It's your house. Ridiculous. But these people thought the light fixture was broken. So then they were like, they feel dumb. Well, they should feel dumb, but whatever. I'll let it go. It did need fixed in some way. It was hanging from the wires from the ceiling, which is bogus. So I tell them, hey, I'm going to run and get some ceiling tiles, some light bulbs, and I'll be back. And the woman goes, I didn't know the bulbs weren't in there. Think about that statement. What is she trying to prove? I didn't know the bulbs weren't in there. Okay, well, a light goes out, right? Usually the first thing anybody does after checking the switch and the breaker would be to change the bulb, right? Probably the bulb first, depending on how it goes out. Zero bulbs in the fixture.
The guy goes, "Oh, I was letting some lady stay here. She must have stolen when she left." The sad part is I believe that. You know what I mean? I fucking believe that. Somebody probably did. Haphazardly tried to get the bulbs and did. Knocked it off the ceiling because it was up there all janky anyway. And stole two light bulbs when they moved out. That's how hard... Everyone thinks there's solutions to abject poverty. And there is to some of it. But I'm telling you, if you put these people in the Taj Mahal and gave them a tour from the best guide that the Taj Mahal ever had and told them about all the history and beauty and craftsmanship and said, "Okay, well, here's the keys. We're coming back in 3 months. We just need you to watch it." That place would be fucking covered in pit bull shit and dead squirrels. Dude, I was checking the light fixture in their kitchen. Rotten food in the sink. I had to shower after leaving. You feel a film. That's a gross house, you know what I mean? Some people are crazy. There's no fixing that. And they just wanted to watch. This is the thing I was thinking the other day, right? What's the deal with people? What's the deal? What's the deal with people whose TV is their most valuable possession? You know what I mean? You're consumers, you know? That's all there is to say. These people aren't creators, they're consumers, right? They had a 50-inch watching Star Wars, I can tell you that. Oh, it's crazy. So glad to not be in that house anymore. Makes you appreciate having a girlfriend. Everyone keeps a tidier house when they've got a lady. You know what I mean? You do. You do. I'm back on the Budweiser Special Reserve today. Just got off work. Gotta have a cold one. Also, I put a pop filter on the arm. I wonder if that makes it any better this week, guys. Who knows? I had to cut the arm off a stuffed animal for a pop filter. That's right. I did it. I'm not above admitting it. That little gorilla is an amputee. Cut off his arm. Slid it over the mic. But, pop, pop. Anyway, back to more interesting things. What was I talking about? Oh, ridiculous houses. Either way, see, so, your life's not that bad, maybe. Mine isn't, after being there, I can tell you that. Did miss a couple of goals this between episodes. Did not post the PS4 up yet. So, zero money raised for the podcast. Bullshit. Failure in the chain of command. It occurred to me. Okay, so like, a Barack Obama impression and a Jerry Seinfeld impression. Very similar. Seinfeld just more nasally, like. And I wonder why anyone would even do that. And people wonder why anyone would ever even do that. That was almost Christopher Walken. Boy, the 70s work. I can tell you what. Oh, man. Not an impression guy. Yet. Right? Yet. That's a cricket noise. That's right. I have cricket noise. Oh, what else was I going to talk about? Oh, I saw this video today. Do you guys know what Dakar is? It's a region or country, but either way, it ends up being a race, right? Dakar's a race in Africa across the desert. It's one of the world's hardest races, and they got classes for every kind of car, right? Like, from straight truck semis, I think they might even have a trailer semi division, but to, like, just trucks that dudes made, to motorcycles, to four-wheelers, everybody's racing this thing, right? Well, I was watching the Best of the Dakar clips today on the YouTubes, as a YouTube spiral often goes, with motorcycle stuff, and it was so funny. They had this guy, he was racing, and they cut to a clip of him, and he's standing there next to his motorcycle, pleading with the cameraman. He said, "I can't pick it up. I can't pick it up anymore. I picked it up 50 times yesterday. Dozen more today. I can't pick it up. Will you help me? Will you help me?" So this guy's almost in tears. The cameraman helps him pick it up. Because you're allowed to help people pick up and maintenance and stuff. These races are ridiculous. I'm talking people are buying like the axles off of spectators' trucks to fix their cars to get them to the finish line. That kind of stuff happens. You know what I mean? And this guy helps them get it up. And as he gets it up, he goes, "I quit yesterday. I quit." And the guy's like, "Well, what are you here? Why are you here now? What kept you? Why?" And he goes, "The messages." And he just started crying. And he started saying, "Thank you for the messages to people." That fucking race broke him, man. That's good. Crazy, man. I mean, good for him. I'm not against it. It was nuts to see him weep. And the guy told him, take a break, rest, take a break. And he was weeping into his handlebars. He just shook his head, and he threw his leg over the thing and started it. And puttered off into the desert. It was fucking crazy, man. Oh, it was crazy. If you ever get to see, there's a documentary called From Dust to Glory. It is so good. It's about the Baja 1000. Very similar type of desert open race. Might be a picture into that. Dakar. There's probably a Dakar documentary that kicks ass too. I know I entered a hare scramble. When I had the Husqvarna, I entered a hare scramble. A hare scramble is this. Okay, so some guy who owns a bunch of land sponsors a race. And they call this race a hare scramble. And people from the AMA, which is the American Motorcycle Association, get sent emails, right? And these emails say, "Hey, there is a hare scramble in Johnson County at the Patterson Farm. If you want to, it's in August and it's for points." And these people are all hobbyists, but they click points and they get trophies at the end of the year. Well, I joined the AMA when I had the Husqvarna for a year just so I could go to do a hare scramble because I was like, I better try. Now, like I told you before, this is a 546cc four-stroke water-cooled motorcycle. Now, I think wet, the thing was 308 pounds, which is, folks, that's light. That is light. You know what I mean? For a four-stroke water-cooled, I mean, you're carrying a lot of oil, you're carrying a lot of water. You got a system to circulate all of that. Ugh. Either way, that bike was just a little bit too heavy. Too heavy for a hare scramble. But what's so funny, man, I'm out there and I am like this guy. I'm like this guy from the Dakar. I am broken. I can't believe that I can't finish. I cannot finish one lap. So what happens in a hare scramble, as I said, the guy at the property sponsors it, and he makes a track on his own land. Now, this could be single track, which means wide enough for one motorcycle. Double track, which is wide enough for a quad. But usually, it's a combination of both. This particular hare scramble, I didn't know at the time. I was novice. I was in over my head, guys. I mean, I've been riding a motorcycle for a long time, but this is something I should have been doing on a dirt bike. And I was doing it on a dual sport. And I know that anybody who doesn't know the difference wouldn't know the difference by looking at them. To be redundant. But too much bike. And I felt like that guy, man. I couldn't pick it up anymore. I couldn't pick it up anymore. Just 308 pounds. And it's, you don't pick up the whole motorcycle, obviously. You're leveraging it up onto its wheels. So you're not, I don't know what you're lifting, but it ain't that. And I got to this hill. This hill was grease. I always got this black mud. Supposedly, the glaciers pushed down from up in the Canucks. Mowed over all the forest, ground it up into nothing. Left it on top of the soil as it melted away, and it broke down into this rich black earth. And that's why Illinois and Michigan and Wisconsin and Iowa and Minnesota have this rich black soil, good for farming, at least they used to. Farming does take a toll. But this hill was like that, it was that black. That black soil. And when that black soil gets wet, it turns into grease, man. And I had a dual sport back tire, which wasn't a straight knobby. Now, I think I probably could have made it up that hill if I was smart enough. And this is what I was saying, I was a novice. If I would have known to let air pressure out of my back tire before that race, I think I could have climbed that greasy hill. It would have been a mess. And I would have been, it would have been the thing that finally broke me. But I think I'd have finished a lap or two even. But it broke me, guys. It was just like that, dude. I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't pick up the motorcycle anymore. I don't know how I got. I think I went around somehow. I had to get back out the trailer. My buddy Dustin was there. He had a 425? The Yamaha. It's a cool motorcycle. It wasn't supposed to be street legal, but he figured it out. He did well. He's a hell of a rider. He's a hell of a rider. Yeah, so that was a good fun. That was a good fun day. Taught me something about myself. Taught me about having hands. Hands that break down. Well, I think that's probably enough for episode 2. Thank God we've got out more content. Episode 998 BC. Regular episodes podcast. Aaron Douglas saying thanks and enjoy life. Alright guys, that was it. Episode 998 BC down. We gotta take you out. Same as we taught you in. Hoping to get 2 songs per ep. Today's artist, featured artist, The Bird and The Bee. This song is called Will You Dance? And it is on their 2015 album, Recreational Love. Google The Bird and The Bee. Buy it straight from them. Even better, if they're coming to your town, buy tickets to their show. I listen to them on Spotify. If you do, they'll get a percentage. Either way, let's hear what they have to say.
Will you move this way? We'll let the light, we just fade away.
Feel it. Feel it.
What do you do when the music has its way with you? We say,
ah. Don't act like you don't like it.
What do you say when the greatest night brings in the day? We do everything. Woo. I don't mind just wasting time. Wasting time is all there's ever been.
Woo. I remember.
I don't care.
It's probably senior in high school. My older brother was going through a girl rock phase. I was like, that is so dumb. Check me out. How true, though. All right, Bird and the Bee. Take them out.
We're like the ground. We're just density.
Fucking idiots. I think a lot of shit is mean-spirited just because it goes against what they believe. I know a lot of fucking idiots. I think a lot of shit is mean-spirited just because it goes against what they believe.